Today I would like to share a message with you related to this Easter season. And it's about the necessity of the cross. Now, perhaps you've asked that question more than once in various situations in your life. Is that really necessary? I think of each time we go to update our phones and get new phones, every time there's this activation fee. I'm not quite sure why, other than it's usually $35 or $40 more to my bill, but I'm thinking I'm already your customer, you're already in my I'm already in your system. Why should I have to pay an activation fee? But of course I do, because I want the phone. Or you go through the drive-thru at the ice cream shop and they ask you, do you want whipped cream and a cherry on your shake? Is it really necessary to ask? Of course I do. And wonderful fellow that I am, I always share my cherry with my wife. She likes them better than I do. Now, as a former editor, I have found punctuation to be necessary. It can make a whole world of difference in what you're trying to say. Let me give you an example. Listen to these two sentences. First one, I find inspiration in cooking my family and my dog. Or, I find inspiration in cooking my family and my dog. With commas, without commas makes a difference. Hyphens are also often necessary. Consider these examples. 20 $5 bills or 25 dollar bills. Do the math in your head and you'll decide which one you like better. And of course, with technology, as you're online and something pops up, there's this free offer, a free trial, and you go and you're interested and you go and click on it, and you just click that little thing that you agree to the terms and conditions that apply, and you hit the submit button, and all of a sudden the form pops up and it wants your credit card information. At that point, just walk away, because reading the fine print is absolutely essential if you don't want them to keep dinging your credit card every month while you're trying to figure out how to get out of that free deal. So be careful with that. And just in case it has slipped your mind with all the craziness that's been going on, we are quickly approaching Easter. And one question that comes to mind during this season is, was the cross necessary? Did Jesus really have to die? And that's the question I want us to consider today. Jesus himself said that the cross was necessary. If you take a moment and flip in your Bibles or your look on your iPad or your phone and find Luke 24, verses 25 through 27. This is a story that actually takes place after the resurrection. As when Jesus is walking with two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus, and as he's talking, he reminds them or tells them that this was necessary. This is what the prophets and the law foretold, what the Old Testament talked about when it talked about the coming of the Messiah, that he must suffer and die and be raised again for the plan of salvation to go forward. Now, while the cross was necessary, it was also voluntary on Jesus's part. He did not have to choose the cross, but he did. We read in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, where Jesus makes this statement, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Jesus didn't have to die, but he freely laid down his life for us. But this was not an easy thing. This just was another day in the office. For later on, as we get to Holy Week and the things that happened during that time, in that final week of Jesus's life, we find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying because he was troubled and sorrowful. If you recall the story, he takes the disciples and then he takes Peter, James, and John and goes a little further into the garden and asks them to watch and pray with him. Then he goes just a little further and he prays this prayer, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus did not relish the suffering that would come to him on the cross. Not only was the physical pain exquisite and horrible, but the emotional pain that would go with it, feeling betrayed, feeling forsaken, and then the spiritual component when he took our sins upon him and he died in our place, and the Father turned away from him in that moment. The only time in all of creation, in all of time, that he and the Father were not in relationship, in connection with each other. How horrible that must have been, and he knew that was coming. Think also of at the garden when the soldiers came to arrest him. The scene, the soldiers show up being led by Judas, and they come to arrest Jesus, and Peter, trying to defend Jesus, pulls out a sword and whacks at a guy, cuts his ear off, and this is how Jesus responded to that. He said, "Put your sword back in its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scripture be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" Was the cross really necessary? Yes, it was. And today we explore some of the reasons why. Reason one, it was the only way to deal with the problem of sin. Now, this may sound like a strange question during an Easter season message, but when was the last time you read Genesis 5? Do you even remember what it was about? Someone lived so long, became the father of someone, lived a little while longer, having other children, and then he died. Over and over again, you read that same expression, and then he died. Enoch, of course, is the one exception because he walked faithfully with God, and God took him away so that he did not die. Why is Genesis 5 there besides to give us a genealogy to eventually trace the lineage of Christ? Well, let's move backward one chapter to Genesis 4. In Genesis 4, we find the first murder. In this case, it was patricide, where Cain kills Abel. Okay, kids, this is your part of the message as you're watching. You have to answer this question. It's a JBQ question. Why did Cain kill Abel? Well, actually, it's not a JBQ question. It's just one I used to break the ice during matches when I was a quiz master. You're probably coming up with all kinds of spiritual reasons, but Cain killed his brother because he was Abel. Okay, I'll give you a moment to stop laughing. But back to Genesis 4. We have the first murder. We have polygamy first mentioned with one of the sons of Cain, Lamech, or descendants of Cain with Lamech. We see in here the first mention of revenge that leads to killing. So how does this answer the question of the problem of sin? Well, you have to go back one more chapter. Adam and Eve ate the tree from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in disobedience to God's command. Genesis chapter 3. And the problem of sin is this, is the punishment of sin. Because Satan, when he was tempting Eve, said, did God really say? He caused her to doubt the truth of what God said. What God said was this, when you eat from it, from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will certainly die. Spiritual death was first. There was separation from God. As you recall the story, as Adam and Eve, they realize that they have sinned and that they're naked, and so they make clothing from fig leaves. And when God comes, they hide themselves because they understood that they were sinful in the presence of a holy God. That spiritual death that separated them from God, as God to protect them and keeping them from eating of the tree of life and living forever in a sinful state, banishes them from the garden. And now they are separated from God. And then you get to Genesis 4, Genesis 5. Not only did God say that there would be a death spiritually, but physical death would follow as well. Thus, again, Genesis 5 is just a reminder of the truth of what God said clear back in Genesis 2 and 3, when it keeps reminding us, and he died. See, the reality is that all of us have sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. The book of Romans brings these facts out. Now, not to make light of what's going on here, but think of the current crisis with COVID-19. Not everyone has, and not one will contract the virus. We've seen the devastation that this one virus has wrought upon our world and the death it has caused. And again, we do not make light of that. We pray for and express our sympathy for those who have lost loved ones or suffered or lost their jobs. There's been so much loss because of this virus. Yet, not everyone will contract it. Yet everyone has sinned, and all who sin die. Actually, there's only one case of someone not sinning and dying, and we know his name is Jesus. The problem with sin is that it always results in death, and that is why the cross is necessary. See, because of the cross, the problem of sin is dealt with. We read in Hebrews 9:26, but he, Jesus, has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus came and died upon the cross by his own volition. He did it willingly to deal with the problem of sin, to do away with sin by his sacrifice upon that cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. A reason, too, that the cross was necessary is even though God decreed that sin must be punished, he loved us and desired to save us from sin's condemnation. The problem of sin, the love of God, is what made the cross necessary. That's why he sent Jesus, who willingly came to die on the cross and thereby take our punishment for us. Remember that just a few moments ago, I reminded us of those verses in Romans that said that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and that the wages of sin is death. Well, these truths come from, again, Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. Let me now expand on those passages. Romans 3, but begin at verse 22. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's where I stopped the first time, but because of the cross and what Jesus did for us there, we can keep on reading, and it's good news. Let me read that again. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. Let me read Romans 6:23. I read the first part, now let me read the last part. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The cross is necessary because it makes a right relationship with God possible. The cross is the means by which the grace of God is extended to us so that we might be justified freely by faith. By faith, we receive God's gift of eternal life. And what moved God to do this? It was because he loves us. He loves us so much that he was willing to send Jesus to die on the cross for us. We read this in John's first letter to the church, 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Praise God. That's how much he loves us. As we approach Easter, Let's take to heart why the cross was necessary. Before we came to God in repentance for our sins, we were spiritually dead. We were not in right relationship with God. And sin will eventually bring about our physical death, after which we will face an eternity separated from God in torment, or dwelling forever in God's presence, where He will show us the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Physical death will come, but after that, we will stand before God, and either we will be eternally separated from Him and be in torment, or we will get to dwell forever in His presence and enjoy these incomparable riches of His grace through Christ Jesus. The cross shows us that God loves us even when we are sinners, that He wants to make us spiritually alive. God wants us to have lives that are full, full of His love, full of His joy, full of His peace. And when you receive the salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, because of what He did on the cross for us and because of His resurrection, God will begin to transform you from the inside out. See, it's more than just simply fire insurance, as has been said in the past. It's the beginning of a new relationship and a new way of living. We see this as we continue reading in 1 John chapter 4. Let me reread verse 10, and then I'll go on and read verse 11. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. See, as God begins to work in our lives and change us and put to death that sinful nature within us, then our lives are changed so that we can live to please God and love others as God has commanded us to. Let me read this final passage as I prepare to bring this message to an end. It's found again in the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 19 through 22. It says this, "Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life." Friends, the cross was necessary because it was the only way for God to deal with the problem of sin and the consequence of sin in our life. God desires more for us. God desires us not to be slaves to sin, but to have the freedom to choose to do what is good and right and holy in His sight, to live a better life, to be better people. And the benefit that we reap from this leads us to holiness, which means being set apart to God, being set apart from sin, and the result is eternal life. Friends, if you are listening to this message, whether the first time it's been played or perhaps somebody sent you a link and you're watching it as it's being played in a recording, I would just ask you simply, have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? He died for you, that you might have life, life abundant in this world and eternal life in the world to come. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to sign a membership card. You just simply need to pray a simple prayer, asking God to forgive you of your sins, and that you, by faith, receive what Christ died on the cross to do. Take the punishment for your sin and make a right relationship with God possible. You can become a child of God today. That does not mean that tomorrow you'll wake up and your life will be perfect. There are still struggles while we live in this world. We still battle with sin every day. We still have to make that choice every day, whether we're going to give in to sin or listen to the command of God and do what is pleasing and right in His sight. But if you will surrender your life to Christ, He will begin that transformation in your life. If you are a believer, then I hope this message encourages you to live fully for Jesus. Strive to draw closer to Him every day. Do what the Apostle Paul spoke about and become slaves of God, so that the benefit you will reap leads to holiness and the result of which is eternal life. Live as the child of God Jesus died to make you. Let us pray. Father God, in the midst of the chaos around us, we are thankful that you are a constant, a solid rock on which we could stand, that you do not change. You are the same yesterday and today and forever. God, thank you that you made Jesus' death on the cross the answer for the problem of sin, and that we can be forgiven, that we can be set free as we put our faith in Jesus and what He did for us. Lord, if there is one today under the sound of my voice that has never said, Jesus, be my Savior, forgive me, make me a child of God, that they would pray a simple prayer in their own words, because you are near to them and listening for their cry. And Lord, for those of us who have said that prayer, maybe just recently, or some of us who've been following after you for many years, may we never forget the wonder of what it is to be your child, to be able to be a slave to you instead of a slave to sin, and that you would help us to live lives that are full of love and peace and joy as we live for you and serve you. Lord, I pray for our world as the battle goes on against this virus, and with all the consequences and fallout because of that. For those who are sick, Lord, we pray for a quick healing. For those who care for the sick, we pray that you would keep your hand of protection upon the health givers, the health care providers, Lord, that they would stay strong and that they would not get sick. Lord, for our leaders, that you would give them wisdom and how best to deal with the situation, and they would do what is best for this country and or wherever we're living, Lord, and for the people that they have authority over. And then, Lord, I pray for your church, that during this time, we truly would be the hands of Jesus extended to those around us. Help us to meet and minister to the needs of those that are our neighbors as we check on them, and those far away as we pray. Lord, thank you for these things. Thank you for loving us so much. You sent Jesus to die for us. We give you praise in that precious name. Amen. God bless you.